Not too many years ago, I remember the reaction and feeling I had the first time I saw 00 on someone's shoulder on a letter jacket. Recently, we've been seeing 10, and maybe that does something to you to see that from your high school years. Just think what it's going to be like in a few years to see 20, 30, and so on. There's a great circle to life. And we're in the middle of it, the process of living out our years, the very thing that the psalm we just chanted addresses. At Emmanuel St. Joseph's Hospital, just a few blocks away, if you go to the right room where a mother of a newborn would be possibly nursing her brand new baby on the first day of life, if you looked out the window about a block away or so, you can see the building of a vault company which creates the cement liners in which caskets are put. Just a block from where life is entering this world, there's a company making money off of death. Just like leaves in a stream that are floating through a river and heading toward a waterfall, even though the various leaves, because of their weight and size, may reach that waterfall at a different time, in the end, they all finally get there. And so it is with all of us, as our psalm addresses for today, and as we will sing in the hymn, time like an ever-rolling stream bears all its sons away. All of us are heading toward that waterfall of death. And in this psalm, which, by the way, might be the oldest portion of Scripture, Moses, writing by inspiration, says to the Lord, "You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men." Many of our readings this week deal with the issue of death in our life and the reality of that and what it means for us. Martin Luther said once that when he used to read this psalm before he came to know the gospel and what Christ had done for him, when he used to read this psalm, he couldn't get through it. He would put it away. It was too terrifying. He says, "It devours the entire human race." And it teaches us something about how we can be tempted in this life, when we're in the circle of this life, to think of it as being long and to think of it as being something that's going to last. There's so much right now that we can have and that we can get and enjoy that thought can kind of consume us. It can start to take over how we look at the years that we have in this world. And it can distract us from really focusing on the fact that this life will end someday and there is an eternity to face. During World War II, when many of the German soldiers were capturing many of the Jewish men and putting them on the trains to head to the gas chambers, it's reported that some of those men, as they were getting on the train, began arguing with the soldiers that they had to go back and finish a business deal, and that they wanted them to be able to go back and take care of some paperwork on a business deal and a transaction that they were taking care of, completely unaware of the kind of fate that was awaiting them. And we can kind of be like that sometimes. We can get so caught up with the trivial things, really, of this life, when really the most important and the largest issues of this life, dealing with our mortality and the fact that we're going to have to face a holy God in judgment, can sometimes escape us. Moses puts us all in perspective, this little life I have, when he says that we are all like grass that grows up. In the morning it grows up and flourishes, and by nighttime the mower comes along and cuts it down. God would have us think about how insignificant this life really is in the span of eternity every time we clean out the bottom of our mowers. How irrelevant and meaningless from eternity's perspective is what we have in this world and in this life. You know, it's kind of ironic that the church and what the church proclaims is often talked about by the world as being out of touch with reality. Nothing could be further from the truth. The only institution in the world and in the history of the world that's in touch with reality is the church and is the Word of God that teaches us to number our days, to be ready for the end. And so Moses gives us this amazing prayer that not only highlights for us the destruction that's coming, but more importantly, how to avoid that, how to be spared from that. And he does it in the form of this prayer of the church, a prayer of the faithful. Listen to how he starts again. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. If there's one place where the members of God's church have gone to be safe from destruction, if there's one house that they can go live in that will withstand the storms of life, and especially the storm of death and destruction and judgment, it is the Lord and his mercy in Christ. And throughout the generations, from Adam and Eve to Noah to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to David and all the faithful throughout eternity, they have been brought by God to this indestructible house of his wonderful truth in Christ. And with that in mind, we can pray along with Moses, teach us to number our days. Cause us to look at this life from an eternal perspective. Lord, help me understand how what I'm doing right now, today, and how I'm living my life, and the kinds of things that I am letting influence me in my life, help me to better understand how that fits into the shortness of this earthly life and how important it is to be ready for eternity through faith in Christ. That is the peak, the highest form of wisdom, is to understand the brevity here, the blade of grass in the lawnmower here, and what it means to have eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the church prays to our gracious God, have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days, even in this life. How can we possibly look at the future casket that we're going to be laying in, the urn that our ashes might sit in someday? How can we think about the prospect of our family members, our kids maybe someday picking out the clothes to put on our corpse? How can we possibly look at that and say, help us to be glad all of our days? Help us to rejoice? The only way is in Christ, is through Christ, the victorious Lord. The very one who lifted that little dead girl's hand and had her sit up in her bed. The one who stopped that funeral procession outside of Nain. The one who called out to Lazarus's dead body to come forth, the one who he himself rose triumphantly on Easter morning, and the very one who says to you and me, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whosoever lives and believes in me will never die. Just think how beautiful it must have been to have seen the risen Christ. How beautiful that moment must have been to see him standing there and to be able to touch him and so on. What a sight of beauty. No wonder then that the church prays, and that we pray with her, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Only in him do we understand life in its proper perspective, and only in him do we realize our purpose and the meaning to this short life we now live. Amen. Today we would like to offer a brief prayer on behalf of Ruth Abramson, the mother of Nate Abramson of our student body, who has requested a prayer. She is presently suffering with cancer and receiving treatment. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you invite us to bring our petitions before you, and so we come before you today on behalf of your dear child, Ruth Abramson. We pray that you would guide and keep her safely through this entire ordeal, and that if it is your will, that you would grant ability to the doctors and to the various procedures that are given to her, that she may be restored again to good health. Above all, comfort her with the knowledge of Christ Jesus and the promise of life everlasting. And teach all of us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Amen. We continue with our hymn.
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you.